Mr. Glanfield, Reel 2. Now, you were called up in July 1940. Where were you told to report to?
I was told to report to Marske on Sea, which is in North Yorkshire, near Saltburn.
And who were you joining there? Which unit were you joining?
I wasn't aware of any unit. We merely went to this place where we were examined medically and physically, and
how strict a medical inspection was it? Would they?
I don't think the medical inspection was particularly strict. They did it more on looks than actual real inspection of heart and so on.
And what else happened? Was there an intelligence test? I mean, did they sort of, or aptitude?
No, there was no. It as people know, it was only a few weeks after the exit from Dunkirk, and the authorities didn't appear to be taking too much time over getting people to what they wanted them to do. And so, while we were there, we had 3 weeks there, what they call square bashing.
Now, hang on a minute. What about kitting out? What were you kitted out with, uniform and equipment?
We were just kitted out with a uniform, with just the ordinary basic uniform. We had to make our own beds, and that was about all. We didn't have any weapons or anything. We weren't taught any weapons, there weren't any.
And you don't know what unit you were in?
No, we knew that we were in the artillery, but that was the end of it. That was all we knew.
So it was a sort of basic training?
Very basic training, yes.
Now, what was your accommodation like at Marske?
I think it was in huts of some sort. And, of course, it was summer, the weather was fine, and everybody muscled in more or less. There was no problems when I was there. Everybody accepted what was shown them. It wasn't very strict.
And what training did you get then? Was it just drill?
Just drill. There were no weapons. I don't think they were available.
So marching up and down?
That sort of thing, yes.
How did you take it? I mean, you'd done a lot of it in the OTC.
Oh, yes, but I mean, that was no problem for me. I just accepted it.
Did you see the point at that time of drill? Did you know why you had to do it at the time?
Well, I realised that 90% of the intake had not done that sort of thing, and I was never one for wanting to tell other people what to do. I let them get on with it.
What I meant was, did you understand the purpose of drill? Why everyone had to learn it? Did you realise that?
No, I never thought of that.
And any other kind of training? Route marches? Or was it just...
No, it was just very, very basic training, because everything was done, I thought, in a slight hurry, because there was an emergency and they wanted to get people moving as quickly as possible.
Now, how did you get on with the rest of the squad? You know, the other, because you were all raw recruit. How did you get on with them? What sort of background and class and type were they?
As far as I remember, they were very ordinary people, because in that area, a lot of people did very ordinary work. There was this big steel works, and that was the biggest employer in the area. But of course, people came from other parts of Yorkshire and County Durham, but the general intake was not of very high standard.
Now, you'd had a more comfortable background than many of them, the vast majority of them, and you'd also been to a better school, presumably. Did that make you stand out, or in a good or bad way? In other words, was there any...
No, I took a backroom step. I didn't try to stand out. I knew it would all, this basic training, I'd heard of it before, and I knew it would only be very short, and then I would find out pretty soon what I could do.
So what happened towards, you were there about 3 weeks, that's July through into August 1940? Or into September?
No, only the beginning of August, I think.
And what happened at the end of that?
Well, I was in a group of about 20. We went by train, in charge of somebody, as far as Glasgow, and then another train part way to where we finished up at Gourock. The last part was, I'm not sure whether it was from the station, but anyway, we landed in the barracks in a vehicle, in a truck, in a large...
Do you know the name of the barracks?
Well, I know the name of the yes. It was the Clyde Heavy Regiment. And that was a coast artillery.
Did it have a number?
It didn't have a number.
And the name, the barrack, you said, the name of the barracks, or was it...
No, it was just a barracks, and as soon as I got there, or we were all got out of the vehicle, lined up, the RSM was there to greet us, and my name was the first called out, and he said, Gunner Glanfield, Regimental Pay Office, which is behind me, and I fell out, and that's the end of my drill. I didn't do any more drill there.
So they'd spotted that you were
I'd been selected, yes.
Now, well, let's follow that. What were you, tell us what you did as a pay clerk.
Well, in the pay office there, I take it that the unit was quite big. There were about four or five similar people to myself, solicitors, accountants, or bank clerks. And we did very straightforward work dealing with the army pay there, the acquittance rolls, the regimental orders, and so on. Now, so I never attended another parade.
Now, could you go through your work in more detail? Because we're quite interested in how a pay office works. You know, what exactly was the setup of the pay office? And then if you go through what the acquittance rolls were and how it was payday, I suppose, presumably.
We made out the acquittance rolls and calculated or just copied what the person had the previous week. It was all done by hand in long sheets with about 20 names on each, and my job each Friday was to go with the officer who was to do the actual paying out and be by his side in case he asked a question or in case the person receiving the pay had a query. And that was basically that was the job.
Would there be many queries?
And we typed, of course, the regimental pay orders and so on.
Would there be many queries? I mean...
No, not really, no. One thing which I do remember, and that was, although I worked in the pay office, I slept with the other people of the 20 I came to the regiment with, and they knew my name, but at that time, because of... the name was quite well known. I wasn't called Glanfield, I was called Nuffield. Nuffield was the man who controlled Morris Motors.
Just because of the field?
Yeah. So I was known to them as Nuffield because I was able, if necessary, to help them, let them have... perhaps additional pay for some reason or another on the acquittance roll. So I was quite important to them.
So that was that your whole duties, or were you Was it the, I mean, I know, I understand you didn't do any parades, but were you getting any gunnery training or any specialist
training? No, I never saw a gun the whole time I was in the pay office there. I never attended a parade. And it was only after I'd been there about 2 months, I think, when I saw on the notice board that volunteers were required for officer training in Coast Artillery.
And you decided to do that?
I immediately decided to do that.
And that would be in about October then?
About October, yes.
And what was the procedure? You know, you decided to volunteer. How did they actually assess you, firstly within the unit and then possibly, you know?
The form, I take it there was a form filled in, and within 7 days I was sent to Edinburgh to be interviewed by a field officer, brigadier or something.
Do you remember what the interview was like, what they were looking for perhaps in you?
He asked questions, and as soon as I mentioned a public school I went to, he didn't ask any more questions. He said, that's all right.
That was the crucial thing, your education.
Well, yes, it was the education, and they were evidently short of officers, and they would sort it out at the training, because half the training is calculation and maths and so on, and the other half is practical. So they would certainly sort you out there.
So you went for the interview. Did you then go back to your unit?
After the interview, I immediately was sent to an actual battery of this Clyde Heavy Regiment, which was situated at Toward Castle Point on the other side of the River Clyde.
Toward?
Toward, T-O-W-A-R-D. The reason for that regiment was because they guarded the submarine nets and the entrance to the River Clyde, because Greenock was very near there, and it was important that the ships, particularly the convoys that went in and out, were defended from the U-boat. And of course the other battery that I went to had smaller guns and was about 10 miles further out on the other side of the Clyde and could warn anybody any action that was likely to happen. But whilst I was there, there was an action, and I was only there for perhaps a month or so.
So October to November?
Yes, the first time I saw a Coast Artillery gun. They were 4-inch guns, and I took particular note of what they were and so on, because I was unfamiliar with them. And the guns were had the year 1899 on them, on loan to the Japanese Imperial Navy, and then returned to Britain. And that's, they were used there, and the action that I took part in, or was part of, was there was a Scandinavian vessel anchored off the coast, about a mile off the coast in front of us, and about 5,000 tons, and for some reason or other, it had been instructed not to leave until some decision had been made about it, but it decided to leave on its own accord, and we were ordered to bring it to, and we fired 2 or 3 rounds, and it stopped immediately. Blank rounds.
Now, what were you actually doing on this battery? Because you've been in the pay office, and now you're sent to a service.
I was taught the drill of loading these guns and everything connected with the activity of a Coast Artillery gunner.
Could you give us an idea of what the 4-inch loading drill was? I mean, I know it's a long time ago.
Yes. Well, the 4-inch gun has a cartridge which fires the actual shell. The shell is loaded first. It's all done by hand, and then the cartridge is inserted, and the breech is closed, and it is fired by electricity.
Would you learn each of the roles, on the gun?
No, I just shown the basics, very, very basics. They said you learn it all further on.
And what was your accommodation like at Towered Castle?
Oh, the accommodation was in wooden huts, and no problem at all. It was very isolated. You couldn't reach any place of civilization.
What were the huts like? I mean, we're getting towards winter now, October-ish, October, November.
Oh, they were well constructed. They were purposefully constructed huts with heating and so on.
Like Nissen huts?
Like Nissen huts. Well, no, but they were all wood. And it seemed adequate. And each weekend, a party of a coach load of ladies would reach us from the Glasgow area, volunteers who came down to entertain us for a few hours, and that was it. We never saw anybody else.
What about the food? We haven't talked about food. What was your reaction to army food?
Army food was very good in those days.
So what would you get, breakfast, dinner and tea?
For breakfast you'd get bacon, tomatoes, possibly egg, and marmalade put on the same plate, and bread, and butter, or margarine.
And lunch or dinner, whichever?
Well, it was just basic food, but not too bad. Just two course.
How did it compare to what you were used to at home, and perhaps at the public school, at Pocklington?
Well, it didn't really compare to that.
It was worse than Pocklington.
Yes, it was worse than Pocklington. Yes, but it's something which I was about 25 at the time. It didn't cause any surprises or no hardships.
It didn't bother you?
Didn't bother me at all. I volunteered for it anyway, the part of going to the OCTU.
You were there. Your OCTU interview was, your interview was in October. Then you were sent to Towered Castle Point, sort of October, November. What happened next? Because you were sort of waiting to go to OCTU, I presume.
Yes, after about a month at Towered Castle Point, I was instructed to go to the next stage of training, or the first stage of training, which was at Plymouth.
Whereabouts?
Well, it was in I'm not sure what it was called, but it was either the Citadel or it was in a kind of caves that have been used for hundreds of years.
Okay. Now, do you remember the number or name of the OCTU you were joining?
I don't remember the name. It was the Coast Artillery OCTU, and the first half was at Plymouth, and there you did half with the Marines in the Marine barracks, learning their gunnery drill.
Well, tell me about that in a bit more detail, because we're interested in training.
Well, I don't remember very much about it. We did, of course, a lot of marching and so on, but the gunnery was just shown the guns. We weren't actually trained on them, but it was mostly doing the marching and that the Marines did. And then, because they didn't have a military establishment there to train us on guns. But the other part, the most important part, was done in the classroom.
So tell me about that. How did they take you through gunnery in the classroom? What did you have to learn?
Well, you were taught by a mathematics master, and you had to know basic maths and be able to know a little bit more than that. In other words, your education, particularly where you went to a public school or any higher education, for trigonometry and similar things, were very, very useful to you. And a certain number of officers who, through no fault of their own, I don't think, were unable to stand the strain of trigonometry and so on, and they left and went to, I think, an infantry unit.
But you coped?
Oh, yes, I coped because I had that training originally.
No problem with
logs, no problem at all, no.
What else were you getting lectures in? What other lectures? You've got mathematical side of things. What else? Or was it just maths at that stage?
It was just maths and talking about the theoretical trajectory of shells and things like that, how a gun, how the shells travelled.
I mean, would this include things like, because meteorology, barometric pressures, wind, all this affects how a shell flies. Would you be at that stage learning that? Or?
Well, you were taught a bit about it, but not very much. I did all that later. I did a course of that.
What about the theory of ranging? You know, I mean, you know how you range a gun. Was that done theoretically?
No,
or?
No, they didn't. They didn't go into the sort of the actual practical side of operating guns.
So you were doing these lectures. What else would you be doing?
Well, it was difficult times because at that time, the end of November.
That's when you went there?
Well, yes.
November?
More or less, it was in November. I don't know whether it's the beginning or the end. Plymouth was undergoing heavy bombing by the Luftwaffe. And for a fortnight, I remember, the oil tanks were ablaze. There was no gas, there was no electricity, and this was for the civilians, and no water in some cases. And every night we were asked to go and report to the civil defence and assist them in whatever they decided. And then we would come back to our barracks, which were quite safe. And it was quite an ordeal, really.
Tell us a bit about it. What do you remember of one of those trips, say? This is during the Plymouth Blitz, from the sound of it.
Well, I don't remember doing anything positive other than what I was told to do. Help people out and things like that. And we were given full support of the various women's organisations, which provided refreshment for us and so on, when we, you know, got a bit tired of it, because we'd done a day's work, and we would be there probably for 2 or 3 hours, depending on circumstances.
Was it very? I mean, were the streets ablaze and?
Not really, but there were a lot of buildings were still on fire and so on, and it was a situation where the civilians really couldn't cope because there was so much bombing.
So you're helping the ARP unit?
Yes, we're just told to do what they asked.
Would they actually leave would you try attempt? Were you involved in attempting to search buildings for survivors? Because that can be
no,
an unpleasant business.
No, we were just told to do heavy work.
More clearing things.
Yes.
Rather than searching.
Yes, yes.
So that was a distraction.
Oh, it was not unenjoyable. That's right.
So what else do you remember about your time there at Plymouth? Anything else you were trained in?
No, I think we weren't there all that long. I'm not sure whether it was about 6 weeks, probably, not much longer.
Just into December, then?
Yes, into December, yes.
And then where did you move?
Then was the main part of the training, which was in North Wales, in Llandudno.
It's still the Coastal Artillery Octu.
It was still the Coastal Artillery Octu. The intake was about 30 people altogether. And it was practical work. We were we were paraded and marched around, and then we were taken to the guns, which were probably 5 miles away on, I'm not sure of the name of the place, but it was on the coast, isolated from the civilians. And there we actually did the gunnery drill, searchlights.
Which guns were you operating?
6-inch guns, and I have photographs of them on me. On the guns.
And how did you take to gun drill on the 6-inch? Was it a similar drill to the 4-inch?
It is similar, but on the other hand, the same number of people, the loaders and the rammer and the ones that do the firing of the gun and so on. But the shell weighs 99 pounds. It's a heavy shell, and you have to be fit to put that on your shoulder and then insert it into the breech to pick up a 99-pound shell.
You managed it then?
Well, I was fit. I was tall and fit.